Okay, let's go to the second approach to Kufayin Aleph. And what we'll do today is just summarize, and then we need to look at some Gemaras quite carefully. Some Gemaras and Tosfos, and we're going to have to look at quite carefully in order to understand how it works. So the first piece was really fairly straightforward. We had the case in Nedorim of the Chotzer HaShutfin. We have a machlokes hachomim and Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov as to in the event that the shutfin are madir one another, can they go into the chotzer? The hachomim say no, the neder is chal. Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov says they can, because as the Ran explains, kona mafkia mide shibud, and they only have a shibud in each other's chetzi. They each have the full amount in their own. But they each have full ownership. They have a kinyan aguf in their own half, and they have a kinyan, and they have a shibud in the other person's half. And since kona mafkia midei shibud, the chachomim say they can, that the chenam is hal. Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov says no. We use bereira to say that when each one goes into their yard, they're going in with a full kinyan aguf in the full yard. So there's no shibudim. This doesn't work with the principle of shibudim. So the whole sugi of kona mafkia midei shibud doesn't begin, because there are no shibudim here. That's how the Ran explains the Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov. Ask the Tosa Choshin. In that case, the same should apply by a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. When the Rav has him for half the time and he has himself for half the time, so the eved and the Rav are shutfin in the eved. Eved is ein bo din chalukah. So they split the time, exactly as the chotzer works. In that case, why would Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov not say that there's breira, and that when each one is using the eved, he has the full eved, the kinyan haguf in the full gear eved? And if that were the case, then taka what the gemara's having, and should be the halacha that he can marry a shivcha on his own day, on his rebbe's day, and he can marry a bas chorin on his own day. That should be the din. Answers the Ktzos HaChoshen. The reason that won't work out is because an Eved can't flip between Cheirus and another owner, and a Rebbe, because of the principle that we have from the Yerushalmi, that if he's a Meshuchra, Eino Chozer U'Mishtabed. That once he has shichru is a level of kedusha. He's high of the mitzvahs. There's a change in his status, and therefore it's very similar to the case of hekdesh, chometz, and shichru. Shichru is one of the cases mentioned. That hekdesh, chometz, and shichru are chal, and they can't be reversed afterwards. You can't go back to them. So once something is once an eved is meshuchra, he can't go back to being an eved. Which means that we can't learn the sharing of time the way we do with the chotzer. In the case of the chotzer, we can say, as Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov says, that using the principle of breira, each one has a full kinyan haguf during the time that he's using it. But that can't work with the eved, because then once after the eved's had a full kinyan haguf in himself, he's a full meshuchra. If he's a full meshuchra, then a chozer mishtabed the next day. That wouldn't be possible. So the way that it works with an eved, with chatzi eved chatzi bin chorin, is, as we learned in Reish Mem Ches, is that the chatzi eved chatzi bin chori remains a chatzi eved chatzi bin chori all the time. He doesn't change his status. This is a new status. You're an eved, you're a bin chori, you're a chatzi eved chatzi bin chori. And this chatzi eved chatzi bin chori cannot marry a shivcha and cannot marry a bin chori ever. And that's why the Mishnah Shniyah says that Beis Hillel was moedir to Beis Shammai, that although theoretically they should split the days that way, but Lamaisa, they should the owner should be meshachar him, so that he can have yishuv ha'olam, so that he can get married and live a normal life.
Just out of interest, what other implications are there for Gali Issa? For example, should he be shown the Shabbos?
Yeah, so that's one of the things that they talk about. Can he be shown the Shabbos? Should he be shown the Shabbos? What is his status for Gavi Yiddishkeit on his day of Shichru? On his day of Shichru, is he a complete Meshuchra, in which case he's a Goy? And what does he do on Shabbos? Does he keep Shabbos on the day that he does? He doesn't keep on the other day, but he.
The day was for practically dealing with Israel. The Shabbos question
would be the same as Isurim. The same would be the same as in Isur. So the same as the same as Rashi said, She'en ha'isur nischalik lechatzoyin. The same would apply with Shabbos. Since he has to keep Shabbos when he's an Eved, so he would probably have to keep it all the time. He would have to keep it all the time.
Okay, so you'd have to take a mitzvah then.
A mitzvah Asher Shel Zman Grama, he would be positive for altogether. Why, when he's an Eved, but he could be chayev then, since he's chayev when he's free, and he's a chatziv and chatziv mechorin, he would probably have to be chayev all the time, because Eina Yisum is chalev. So it becomes difficult and impractical.
But it's interesting that the reason that we try to break the status of chatziv and chatziv mechorin is just for
Yeshiva Eina. We're
not concerned about, well, how's he going to do mitzvah,
Yeah, that doesn't seem to come into it. Yeah. So then the Tzitzis HaChrishon turns the kasha the other way around and says, well, okay, if Breira doesn't work for an Eved because Ein Ha'isur Mischalek L'Chatzoyin, how can Breira work for how can Breira work in the case of the Chotzer? Because in the case of the Chotzer there's also Isur, because at the time that each person gets the Chotzer, if we're using Breira according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, so each should have get the chotzer on a particular day. That day that he's got the chotzer, he's got a kinyan aguf in the whole chotzer. That day he can make a koinam, which he does. And he asks the shutef behanoah. That koinam is chal, because that day the field is entirely his. The next day the field reverts to the shutef, reverts from Shimon back to Reuven. Reuven shouldn't be able to use the field. How does Rabbi Lozzi and Yaakov say Mutzah? How does that work? Since Hena Isur is Chalik to Shnaim, you've got to say that the Isur is Chal. If the Isur is Chal, then how does it ever go back again? So let's look at the Loshin inside the Ktzos HaChreshin. The Gam B'Shutfin Shenodru Tikshi Lefize Heichi Amrinan Breira U'Mutzah Likonis U'Mishum Breira De Isur Lekol Chad V'Chad Kinyan Haguf. How does Rabbi Lozzi and Yaakov say that because of Breira each person can go into the Chotzer, even though they also hanoah, because each one is a kinyan aguf. It's like somebody determining that my property will oscillate between your ownership and mine. One thing we know is that the koinim is chal for one moment. At that time, he's got a kinyan aguf. The kivan the koinim kedushas haguf. And since the koinam is kedushas haguf, falls on the body of the material of the object, uvosod the chayil shor achas tuloy poka, and since it falls on the chetzer, it doesn't go anywhere after that. It's a moshe because of tzitzis begitin. Then a high time it's kedushas haguf machkiyem midei shibud. That's why kedushas haguf takes out a shibud, because it's chal on the object. Kiven the balchov mikano lahaba goyve chayil shor achas tuloy poka. The shutfin shenodru habu akol ponim shor achas didei v'tuloy poka. And the shutfin have it for one day. That day it belongs to them completely. It's a loy poker. The hector should not be able to be poker, is the Ktzos HaChreshin's kasha. So let's pause there and go through the Gemaras. What I want to do here is classify all the different types of these kedushas hector. When is it a chetzer? When is it a gavra? Because we're dealing with it gets quite complicated, and I've tried to make it out in a bit of a matrix. And if it works, then I'll make a copy of it for you, but it's you're dealing with four or five different cases. So think of some of the cases we're dealing with in the various Gemaras. Remember, Koinam Shani Oisel Apicha and Ksudas. Right? So a woman says, I'm not going to give you any benefit from, I'm not going to cook for you, no food from me. What is that? Is it a Hefza? Is it a Gavra? How does it work? Then we've got in the Dorim, Hare Netiyah Sa'ilam Korban. And says these trees are a korban. There's an isur koinam. We need to understand those, because that's quite a source for all of this. Koinam she'at ne'enes had apesach. This brings the Gemara from the Dorim, where he says if you go to your father any time between now and Sukkot, you can't eat anything of mine. You can't have any benefit from me until Pesach. The shutfin shenodru then is there. The case of a bal choyv. A man has a a debt, and he makes his balchove also bahano. What happens with his sodas? And then there's the case of the istala de pasua misna, which is also an important one, which is the case from Yevomus, where a woman gives her husband a beautiful coat. The man dies. He gives her husband. She brings it in when they get married, and she gives it to her as a gift. She gives it to him as a gift. He dies. The Yisoyimim throw it over his body. They want to bury him with it. And she wants it back. She has a sentimental attachment to it. So the din is she can't get it back. It has a din of koinon once it belongs to the mace. It's no longer, there's an issur hefza on it. She can't get it back. And the Yisoyimim have to pay her. They have to compensate her. It seems to be, and I'll show you inside in a Rashi, it seems to be that when we say that koinon moitzi midei shibud, it doesn't mean necessarily that the person who made the koinon doesn't have to pay still. It's just the object on which the koinon is put. The other person has no claim on that object. But if there's a chiyuv gavra, if there's some form of chiyuv gavra, they would still have to pay. So in the case, in fact, of the itzdila, there Rashi says that the yisoyimim have to compensate her because they've damaged her. They've taken something which she had a right to. They've been makdish it, so to say, by putting it into the tachrichim of the maiz. Nobody can have anor from now. So this also b'hanor. They've damaged it. They have to compensate it. So the
it's difficult because it's not. Oh, it's theirs to Yerusha.
It's not theirs at all.
So then how can they make a koinam on it?
How can they make a koinam on something that isn't theirs? Because she has a shibud. Actually, it's in their rishus, but she has a shibud. In the case of koinam of Gimed, she was in their rishus. They stand in a place. The same as it was the husband, but they assume, yeah. So we've got six cases, and then you've got a whole lot of, you've got the question of, is it a Kinyan Aguf or is it not a Kinyan Aguf, is it a Kinyan Domim? Can one do it Lizman or not? What happens if you do it temporarily? Does the Kedusha Pokeh after Zman or isn't it Pokeh after Zman? Is it a Kohen Kloli or a Kohen Proti? Is there Pidyon or not? Can you be Poide or not? Hekdesh, you can be Poide, a Kohen you can't. According to Rabbi Meir, the Ran says there's some Kohenomas that you can be Poide. Is it Mafkia Midei Shibud or isn't it Mafkia Midei Shibud? So you've got, I'm finding at least five variables and six cases. So we've actually got to classify them a little bit so that we can understand the relationships between these different halachas. And I think with that we'll be able to solve a whole lot of things. That's not as complicated as it sounds. We'll just work through them, and as we work through them we'll pick out the Yisoidus. So we'll need, if you have the photostat, that's good. Otherwise we're going to need Ksubis Nadorim and Yevomus, we can probably manage without. The Ksubis and Nadorim we'll certainly need, and probably Gittin. Ksubis, Nadorim, and Gittin we'll need. So let's start with Gittin Daf Mem Amud Beis. Let's start with Gittin Daf Mem Amud Beis. Which is the case of Eved Shasor Rabbi Apotiki La'acherim V'Shichuroi. So the Rav made the Eved Apotiki so that his Balchoiv, his creditor, can claim from the Eved if he doesn't have money, and then he's Meshachro the Eved, and the Eved doesn't have a real obligation to do anything. Why? It's nothing to the second. Omar Rova Hekdesh Chometz B'Shichru Mafkiyin Midei Shibud. Even though the Baal Chayv had some kind of a shibud on this Eved, because the Eved was an apotiki, the moment he's Meshukro, that undoes the shibud. There is no longer a shibud. So this is one of the sources. for all of this that we're looking at. On that, Rashi says, three lines from the beginning of the Gemara, Hekdesh also shoyroi apoetiki vigdishu kedushas haguf lemizbeach. So it works the same with a shor that you're makdish. The davka kedushas haguf, the kedushas domim loy mifke shivud. So Rashi gives us the first yisoid in this area, that only kedushas haguf is mafkia midei shibud, kedushas domim is not mafkia midei shibud. So you can be makdish. Now we need to start thinking of objects as having two components, and maybe there will be more, but at the moment an object has two components that concern us. The one component is the object, the material, the physical material, and the other is the value contained in that material. And of course, when we get to value, there's a subjective component as well, because you're looking at markets. But the impact of a market is just to measure that value. Everything has a value. How you measure the value is through the market, so through supply and demand. But when you look at an object, and what happens as we work through this Gemara is hopefully we start looking at the world differently. So just as when you look at an object, if you looked at an object through lenses that could see infrared rays, you would see things that other people can't see. You would see the object and you would see its heat. If you look normally, you can't tell how hot an object is. So look through this halakhic lens through which we need to now look at objects is to see in an object, just as you could tell an object and say it has its dimensions, this is what it is, it's a table, these are its dimensions. If you had infrared glasses on, you could say, and this is its temperature, that would be one of its kind of dimensions. One of the halachic lenses through which we could look at is its value, because that's embedded in the object. So let's not look at value simply as an outcome of a potential transaction. That's not what value is, because then there would be no idea of kedushas domim. The idea of domim is that's one of the components of an object. An object is made up, this table is made up of wood and of plastic and of all sorts of materials and of value. Value is one of its components. That's its domim. How much domim? That we look at the markets for. No, not necessarily, because there can be value in things that have no objects. You can have, theoretically, you could have an object that has no value, theoretically, and you could have something that isn't an object and it has value. You can have an idea that has value, it's just an idea, but it has value. So value and object are two different dimensions, that you've got to actually see value as a thing. You've almost got to see it as something visible. So Rashi says you can now be makdish, whether through the mechanism of koinam or through the mechanism of hekdish, you can be makdish either the value embedded in an object, or you can be makdish the object itself, which will incorporate the value. So the value would, in this case, be a subset of the object. This that hekdish can be mafkia midei shibud is only if the hekdish is chal on the guf of the chefetz. Then you can say that the shibud, because the shibud isn't chal on the guf of the chefetz. Now the way we've learned it so far is the shibud is chal on the individual, not on the chefetz at all. So I have in the case of the shor that he makes an apoetiki, the bal chayv has a shibud, which means what? I have a right to $1,000 from you. If you can't pay me $1,000 in cash, and cash is pure value without an object, isn't that right? When we talk about cash, that's just value. And so normally, in the case of a bal chayv, there's an exchange of value, not of objects. If there's a shoyel, if you borrow an object, there's an exchange of object. But in the case of a bal chayv, when you borrow money and return money, it's an exchange of value. However, we attach the value of an object in the case of an apoetiki. So this $1,000 that I owe you, in the event that I can't pay, you can extract that $1,000 from this shor. But you certainly have no rights in the body of the shor. You get it? Or you might have to sell the shor in order to extract the value. And for that you might have, but that's later on, we'll deal with that. Right now, you really have an obligation from me, you have a right to claim from me. That right is strengthened by the apoetiki, which gives you possibly, the furthest we can go so far is saying that the shibud gives you a right to the domim of that ox, but not to the guf. Because remember, we're separating now the value and the body. The body remains mine. If it's mine, I can put a koinam on it. Now you've got a problem. How do you extract value from an object that has a koinam? You can't. You can't extract value from it. That's how a koinam is mafkia midei shibud, says Rashi. Explains Tosfos. Pirush b'kuntros, dakka kedushas. Sorry, let's just go back to the Rashi. Where does he prove it from? Kiditnan. Moisif oy dina rufoides hanachosim halali. You can be poides and get rid of it if it's not. Just kedushas domim. That's not an excuse. You can be poide kedushas domim and you can pay. You can extract. If you've only got an isur on the domim, if it's hektish, if it's kedushas domim, you can extract the value from the apotik. So if I've said the shor will be a gift to the Beis Hamikdash, not a korban oil. I've said the shor will be a gift to the Beis Hamikdash. What have I donated, in fact? Only the value. But the value, I don't have a right to. There's already a shibud on the value. So can we extract the value? Yes, we can. What do I do about my promise to the Beis Hamikdash? I can be poyder. Once I've been poyder, I can release the value. And once I've unlocked the value, the original owner can get it. So you can unlock the value if the koinam is only kedushas domim. Says Tosfos. Pish bekuntros davka kedushas agut mafkiyem idei shibud, aval kedushas domim loy. Ki de mashme be'erchin. So there's an assumption that a koinom is a kedushas haguf. Now that's going to get much more complicated because there are different kinds of koinomas. But right now, Tosfos wants to say a koinom is a kedushas haguf, and that's why koinomas mafkia midei shibud. Kiderav mashma dafke kedushas haguf mafkia midei shibud. Because shel Rabbeinu Tam, de'i choshiv birushusu shel loyve kol zman shel lo higia hazman. If you consider that the in this case the apotiki or the karka belongs, is in the rishus of the loive until the time of the loan. So I've borrowed $1,000 for 30 days. I made my shor an apotiki. In whose rishus is the shor until the 30 days are up? Until the 30 days are up, you don't even have a right to anything. You don't even have a right to money. Afilu kedushas damim nomi mafkia midei shibud. Then even kedushas domim should take away from shibud, because there's no shibud on the ox until the time is up. And if you're going to say that the ox is already in the rishus of the malve, afilu kedushas haguf nami loy, dechi yaktish es beso k'tiv, ma beso birishus af kol birishus, you can only be maktish something that is in your rishus. If it's not in your rishus, how does this whole thing even start? Omeri, derover the time of the omer v'fer kosho, the balchiv mikandu lahabu hugoyve. So the Rava holds, unlike Abaya, that the Baal Chayv is goyve mikanu lahabo. So when the time comes, after 30 days, the Baal Chayv comes and says, I need my $1,000. I say, I don't have $1,000. He says, then I'll take your shor. From what moment does the shor belong to the Baal Chayv? From that moment, not retroactively. The Choshev Birushus of Adapka Kedushas Haguf She'en Loi Pidyon Mafkia Midei Shibud. And only a Kedushas Haguf, which doesn't have a pidyon, so now I make this a korban oil, I make this ox a korban oil, that's mafkia midei shibud, kegon shor tam lemizbeach, ekonomos, ve'itztele de pasua amitna beyavomos, the case of the cloak that's given to the dead person, the kivan shechal shor achas, tu loy pokom. Once this koinom applies to the object, it can no longer be removed, and therefore the shibud, which didn't exist at the time of the koinom, has no place to be chal, because the guf is no longer mine. I've given the guf away to Hekdesh.
What difference does it make whether it exists at the time or not?
Because if it existed at the time, there could be a shayla with a koinom, maybe with a Hekdesh aguf, with a kedusha aguf, I could still do something, but certainly not with it. Here he's saying that if it's even a kedusha aguf would be mafkia, only a kedusha aguf would be mafkia. But a kedushas domim would not be mafkia. Whereas if he wasn't there, then a kedushas domim could be mafkia. The kivan shechal shor achas tu loy pokah de loy adif shibud minitinas domim, because a shibud is no different from the tinas domim, which is the pidyon. If I can be poyder, then the shibud can also get hold of it. The capacity to be poyder means it's removable. If it's removable, the shibud can also remove it. וכן חומץ וכן שחרור מפרש בירושלמי טיימה משום דלא נצין עבד משטחר וחזר משטבל והנה כתביר שיש תקדוש של הגוף כיוון דחיילה צו לא יפוקה. So Tosfos says, the Yerushalmi that says כיוון דמשטחר אין חזר משטבל, the reason is because שחרור is קדוש של הגוף. So shikhur is not the removal of something that was there before and leaving him as he was before. Shikhur is the taking on a full Yiddishkeit, which means he's actually there's a kedushas haguf, and that kedushas haguf can't be pakeah. About kedushas domim loy alim koach hekdesh mikoach makdish. But in the case of kedushas domim, where I've only been makdish the value of the ox, hekdesh, the beis hamikdash's ownership of that ox is no better than my ownership was. Given the Yeshlo pigeon, I could be paid the ox and give the money to the Beis HaMikdash, really, and so on. Then the same applies by, the same will apply by the Hektish and the Baal Chayv. So let's take it up till there for the Tosfos. So here, at this point, all we've got is a chiluk between Kedushas Guf and Kedushas Domim. Kedushas HaGuf is Mafkia Midei Shubut, Kedushas Domim is not. And Koinom is Kedushas HaGuf, is what we've got so far. So it's quite simplistic at this time, and it will get a little bit more complex. Now let's move to Ksubis, Taf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. So it's in the middle of Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and then it's going to go into Amud Beis. But in Nun Tes Amud Aleph we'll start. And it starts with a Vahotznan. Just a little bit above halfway through, there's a little star there. Just a little bit above halfway through the Amud and Ksubas Nun Tes Amud Aleph, Vahotznan. Koinom Sha'ani Oiso Lepicha. So this is a woman, a wife, who makes a koinom that I will not make anything for you to eat. Says Rashi words her koinom a little bit more clearly. Ma she'ani oiso yiyeh koinom l'picha. Yihi olecho kehekdesh milehen esloi. So Rashi wants to clarify this is not a kind of an isur gavra, that she's not forbidding herself, or she's actually creating an isur on the goof of the food that she prepares. The moment she's prepared it, it becomes an isur chetzon, a koinom. Eino tzorich lahafer. He does not have to be mefer, says the Tanakam. Rabbi Akiva omer yefer. Rabbi Akiva says he has to be mefer for various reasons. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer yefer shema yigashena. Utehe also lachzor. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says he's got to be mefer because if he wants to marry her after Gerushin, there would be a problem. Now the Gemara will explain why there isn't a problem during the marriage. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says if he wants to marry her, remarry her, there will be a problem. So best he is made for the neder. But that means the neder is chal. Isn't that right? Even though he has a shibud on Maisa Yodeho, and she's mechuyev to do that for him, nevertheless she can remove that shibud by means of a koinom. Which still fits in with what we know so far, doesn't it? Because we've said a koinom is a kedushas haguf. Rashi has worded it carefully to make sure that what she's saying is clearly in the goof of the food that she prepares, and it's mafkia midei shibud, so that's fine. So the Gemara on the next page, the Gemara goes through a whole long discussion about it, and at the end of the Gemara, before the next mission, on the next page, Elo Amar Ravashi. The reason this works is because kenomus kolam rishani kenomus de kedushas haguf nino. A koinom is kedushas haguf. Now we understand what that means. Uchederavet omarove hektish chometz v'shichru mafkiyim midi shibud. Right. So now that we're all familiar with that, we understand what that means. This is a koinom, and it works the same as hektish, and it's mafkiyim midi shibud. So the poor husband gets no food. After gemara v'niktashu mehashto. So then why are we worried about if he wants to remarry her after gerushin? Why not immediately? How can the husband eat the food immediately? Almua rabbonim l'shibud de baal. The chachomim strengthened the baal shibud. Einach, it should work, but they gave the Baal extra koyach that she can't do that. So it's to stop her from doing. Otherwise, the shibud is meaningless. So in cases where the shibud would become meaningless, using koinonos to get out of the shibud, the chachomim were ma'alim, they strengthened the shibud so that the koinon wouldn't work. But that's the din of the chachomim. As far as the mechanics of koinon is concerned, it does work. Because koinon is a kedushas aguf. Says Tosfos, koinomus kamris at the bottom, v'im terma im kein kol odom yafkia kol mamayna mibal choyva yedei koinom. That's the question we asked as well, isn't that so? In that case, you can always get out of the shibud. You borrow money from a Baal Chuv, you dispose of, you've got no money to pay him back, put a koinon on your property, and there's nothing to do. Just as Al Gemara here says they're ma'alim the shibud of the Baal, so they're ma'alim the shibud of the Baal Chuv. Again, because the Chachomim want to avoid people using the mechanism of koinon to get out of a shibud, which was instituted for good reason. So, again, technically the koinon will work. And we understand why. Koinon is a hekdush aguf, kedushas aguf. Kedushas aguf is mafkia midei shibud. The Baal Chuv loses out. Except that the Chachomim strengthen the shibud. The porich the kivan the meshubed lo hechi matzi madilo veleim the matke shibud the koinon elavade da amu nami le shibud the isha, because you see that it's not only the husbands that they were malim the women's rights also. Whenever the chachomim were masakin a shibud in order to create proper relationships between two parties, they strengthened that shibud to be able to withstand the koinon, because otherwise the shibud would have no effect. That's how they created the shibud. They created the shibud with a strength and with reinforcement against koinomus, and they built that. But without that, almuerd would work. After Tosfos, in Tema, before he came on the beyavomus, it's still of the parsua mitna amayka omer rove kanye mitna kanye mitna ho almuerd rabbanu shibud the isha. If the woman has a stronger shibud, then she has a strong shibud for the itzdilo as well. So once again here, you've got the case, she gave her husband a coat. The husband dies, the Yisoyimim have the coat in their Rishus, but she has a Shibud on it. She has an entitlement to that Istila. Before she gets it in or her hands on it, they put it in the husband's coffin. From that point, it becomes the Rishus of the Mace, and it's like Takrichin, it's also Bahano. She can't get it. So why don't we say they're also Amur Rabban and the Shibud of the Isha? If the issues shibudim are greater, answers Tosfos, Yeshlamet Dafke beKoinomus Amur Shelo Yafkiu. Only koinomus, because that you could use a koinom to get out of a shibud. There, the Chachomim were masakin a stronger shibud. Aval Hayde Perkamana the Nesa Lachol Ha'ilom Leka Lameichas Lahachiu Mafkiya Midei Shibud Kemoi Hekdesh. Now Tosfos says a different thing. In a case where the Isur applies to the whole world, that's a real Isur Hefter. So now we've got two kinds of Isur Hefters, isn't that right? We've got a woman who puts an Isur on her Maisa Yodayim, bless you. She says, if I bake a cake, there's a koinom on that cake, you husband can't eat it. So we say, Amur Chachomim L'Shibudei D'Baal. And he can eat it, even though, strictly speaking, the koinam would be chal. Tosfos says, but they weren't malim the shibud in the case, you don't have to worry about being malim the shibud in a case where everybody's also. So if the woman says, this cake is hekdesh, it's a koinam, nobody can have benefit from it, not even you, that we don't have to worry about, because she also can't have benefit from it, and that she's actually destroyed the value of the object. There is no value in the object, other than to the Beis HaMikdash. So hekdesh is one of the ways that you can destroy value without destroying the object. Hekdesh is an amazing concept. We talked about those two components of an object. So this table has physical properties, and it has an economic property. It has value. I can destroy the physical property, and then the value goes with it. Understand that. Is there any way that I can destroy the value without destroying the property? Yes, I can. Yes. I can make an Isur Hanor on it. Once there's an Isur Hanor, it has no value to anybody.
Demand.
There's no demand. There's zero demand. Once this applies, irrelevant. Once there's an isuk chatzah, you've just destroyed the demand for the object. It's an amazing economic tool. Would you have to pay it if it wasn't yours to start with? Well, if it wasn't yours, you couldn't do it. But if it was yours, you could do it. And other questions, if there's a shibud, can you do it or can't you do it? So yes, if somebody has a shibud and the shibud is on the gavri, you would have to compensate the person for the damages because you've just destroyed his value. And you would have to pay him. But the object becomes also, the object cannot be accessed. So in the case of the itzas, now we've got a new thing thrown in. We've got two new things thrown in. Almuah chachomim the shibuda de baal, or the shibuda de baal chayiv, or the shibuda de isha. So there are cases where the chachomim are strengthen the shibud. That's one piece we've got thrown in. The second piece we've got thrown in now is the istila. And we're saying since the istila, the kedusha is in the goof of the chayfetz, completely in the goof of the chayfetz. You don't even need to be malim the shibud of the baal. You can't be malim the shibud of the baal. They weren't malim the shibud of the baal or the isha or whoever. There, it's chal. The hekdash is the kedusha is chal. So, what would happen according to that if a person, a baal chayv or a loive, put an isur hanor, a proper koinam, on all of his property that nobody could get benefit from it? Maybe there that would include the baal chayv. The Baal Chayv wouldn't be able to get benefit from it because that would be a real Isur Chetzah. But what he normally does is he puts an Isur on the Domim. So what we see beginning to emerge here is three kinds of Isurim that a person can create. He can create an Isur in the Chetzah itself. He can create an Isur on the value of the Chetzah but not the Chetzah. That's called Kedushas Domim. So that's still a kind of Kedushas Haguf. In other words, when we use Kedushas Haguf, what I want you to try and think of is Kedushas Haguf can be used in contrast to two different things. Kedushas Haguf as opposed to Kedushas Domim, and Kedushas Haguf as opposed to an Isur Gavra. Those are two different things. So you've got one category would be Kedushas Haguf broken up into Domim and Guf proper. So I can answer the object, meaning the physical object, and I can answer the value of the object. And then there's an Isur Gavra, which is like a Shvur, where it's not Hal on the object at all. And the question is, where Shibudim fit in? Where is a shibud on the domim? Is a shibud on the gavra? Is a shibud on the chefze? Just as there are different kinds of koinomas, there are different kinds of shibudim. And it's the relationship between koinomas and shibudim that we're exploring in this whole sugya. Let's go further. Let's go to Nedorim. Nedorim, let's first do Nedorim Choftes. The Netzias, yeah. So in fact, we're going to start with the Mishnah Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. This is a good example. Remember, we spoke about in the beginning the kind of hyperlinking. How I've said that Gemara is more like internet than any other kind of knowledge base we've ever had before. So what are we learning? I mean, we're turning pages like crazy, reading from Masechta to Masechta there, but we're actually in one. They're all hyperlinked. So it's a different way of being able to look at the. And that's why I'm enjoying the. Using the Ksesa Choshen as the basis because it enables us to work on a sugya, on a concept, wherever it is, and it's as if it's on one daf. Imagine if all of this was one daf, then we wouldn't have a problem with it. We would do it in normal Bikiyas learning. But they're not all on one daf, they're all over the place for reasons of the structure of Gemara. But we've got to be able to learn in two different ways. You've got to be able to see Gemara linearly, going through the Masechtas as they are and how they're structured, and you've got to be able to go through them conceptually. And those are the two different limitations. So what we're doing is the conceptual process, because we're very used to doing the linear. The challenge is to do it conceptually. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Mishnah says, the case in the Mishnah is, Harein the tios ha'ilu korban in einan niktzatzos. Talizu korban im einan nisrefes. The first one is a person puts a koinom on trees, or a talis, provided they will not be destroyed, and Rashi adds here on Adorim that Rashi adds that day. So I'm saying it's a tnai. In other words, if the day goes by and they're still around, they're not destroyed, they're hekdesh or they're koina. For one case, the other case. What is the din? Yesh lohem pidyon, they're hekdesh, but you can be poida. So that's the Kedusha's Domi. Harei Netzios Ha'elu Korban Ad Shi Yiktotsu, Talizu Korban Ad Shi Tisorek. This tree is Hekdesh until it gets chopped down. This talis is Hekdesh until it's burnt. It's Hekdesh all the time. In that case, what happens then, says the Mishnah, Ein Lohem Pidya. There's no Pidya. How does that work, says the Gemara, a little bit further down at the bottom of that page, of Chav Ches Amud Beis, Harei Netzios Ha'elu Korban, Loi Lamama Ba'pada Padon Chayzeres U'Kedushus, Padon Chayzeres V'Kedushus, Ad Shi Yichtzotz. The Hekdesh just keeps on being chal. Yes, you can be poded, you can give the money to the Beis Hamikdash, but then immediately, because the man said, until they're chopped, Hekdesh will apply. So no matter what you do, the Kedusha will come, keep on bouncing back. What happens after they're chopped? Niktsotsu, poedun pa'amachas v'dayu. Once they're chopped, you still have to be poededen, but then it doesn't come back again, because now they're chopped. So you put Kedusha on the chefetz. It seems to have been also a Kedusha's Domim, I guess. It was a Kedusha's Domim. But it was a Kedusha's Domim that keeps on reoccurring until the tree is chopped down. When the tree is chopped down, there's still Kedusha there, but now you can be poded and it doesn't recur because that original condition no longer applies. He said, Achi Iktsotsu, now it's been connected. There's no recurring Kedusha. Well, we'll see. One would have thought that it was Kedusha Sagus, but you'll see in the Gemara not so. Ula Omar Kivan Shiniktsu Shuvain Poida. Ula says you don't even have to be poida. Once they've been kotsa, he gave a time limit. He said there's Kedusha on this until the Niktsa. Then there's no Kedusha. So the issue between Ula and Bar Pedo is whether the Makdish can give a turn to it. And say this, naturally at the end of this term, the Kedusha will go away. Can he limit the Kedusha by time? Ula says, yes, he can limit it when that time is gone. Nikta to the condition is filled, the Kedusha is gone. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Hamnuna, Kedusha Shibu and Lehechem Holcha. What happened to the Kedusha? Where did it go? So Kedusha is also like value. So now you look at an object and it has a physical property, it has value, an economic property, and it has a Kedusha property. That Kedusha property could be near zero, or it could be very high, like Kedushas Haguf, when you make this to the Mizbeach. It's another property. But it can't just disappear. Says Rav Amnuda, what happened to it? Ilu ishti at ishti Can you marry a woman on term, and say you're married to me for 30 days, and then goodbye? And then at the end of 30 days, does she walk out without a get? Clearly not. Omale Rav, mikom adamis Kedushas Domim, the Kedushas Haguf. That's why I said you'll see that this is also Kedusha's Domim. Kedusha's Domim poker b'chdi. Kedusha's Haguf loy poker b'chdi. Kedusha's Domim can have a time term after which it disappears. Kedusha's Haguf cannot. That's what the Gemara says. According to Ula. And then the Gemara goes on, can Kedusha's Haguf not be poker b'chdi? And the Gemara goes on to discussing it. Because that's the way you created the Kedusha, that it would be a recurring Kedusha.
Then there should be no pigeon at all. It wasn't recurring, it was constant.
No, so if you look at the way the Gemara says, and that's why the Gemara says it that way, that it's not that it's not able to be put there, because that would be a Kedusha Saguf. And it's not a Kedusha Saguf, this is the Gemara, it's recurring. It's recurring to the Baal Pedah.
Brought it back.
Your original, the original way that you created that Kedusha. So you said, this is a recurring Kedusha. It's Kedusha's Domim, but it will be there all the time. How does Kedusha's Domim stay there after Pidyon? It comes back. So it's a Kedusha. It's a new kind of Kedusha. It comes back. If you look at the Ran, at the top of the page, if you look at Ein Lohem Pidyon, Big Mora Mefarish, Ikemanda Ma Dechik Tani Korban, this is the Ran at the top of Koch Chesamud Beis, Bigmora Beforish, Ikamand Oma Dichik Tani Korban Kishigdishon Lidamei Korban Mairi, Behind the Oma Yeshlo and Pidyon. When he said Korban, he meant a Korban Domin. Vikit the Beforish the Koinamhu, Behachika Oma, Hareha Natsios Halalo Asuras Kekorban. So there's a question, was he Makdish with the Kedusha's Domin, or did he make a Koinam? The Chitem and Ken Hechi Shoyach the Koinam Pidyon. If it's a Koinam, how does Pidyon even work? What's the Havamina to say that it's a Koinam? יש למה דמתניסין רבי מאיר היא דקסובה דכל היכר שהוא קיינם כלולי שנעזר על הכל כהקדש יש לו פידיה. So now we've got another factor thrown in. So the korban klali. So here we have another factor thrown on, that a korban klali has pidyon. A kohenim klali has pidyon. So a kohenim klali is a form of hekdesh. Works the same as hekdesh. It's kedushas domin. A kohenim klali is kedushas domin. Right. What about a kohenim prati? Does that have domin? Can you repeat it? No, so here we have a chumra, and we have a kula and a kohenim klali. So it sounds kind of like we have a kula and a kohenim klali. Sorry?
By definition, a kohenim
klali. So according to Rabbi Meir, no. So according to Rabbi Meir, a kohenim klali is by definition only kedushas domin. So it is guf, that's why I suggested to you that we've got to look at kinyan haguf as a kohenim haguf, or kedushas haguf, as divided into two areas. The guf hachefetz or the guf hamomen, the domin, as opposed to gavra. So what we're saying is a kohenim klali is on the guf, is on the guf, but it's the guf hadomim. It's not on the guf of the chefetz, and that's why it's a big chiddush according to Rabbi Meir. It comes up that a kohenim klali can have pidyon. That's a big chiddush. I just want to see if I can find a rosh on the next page. Thanks. That's okay. I've got it actually. If you look at the Rosh on Kaftes Amud Aleph, look at the Rosh on Kaftes Amud Aleph. What are you worried about, Yosha? A Koinam Kloli, this is a new thing we've just learned, okay? A Koinam Kloli is Kedushas Domin. We call it a Kedushas Haguf all the time, yes, because it's on the Guf Hadomim as opposed to it's on a Gavra. But it's on the Domim, it's not on the Guf. The Haraya, how do we know it's on the Domim? Because it has Pidyon.
Subcategory and no Rosh.
So we're saying that there's kohenim. So it's a new way of looking at that. When we talk about guf, you can have the guf hachefetz and the guf hadomim, and then there's gavra. So we've introduced a new category, which will help us, I think. So if you look at the rosh now on chavtes amud aleph, kedushas domim poko. Can you see that rosh? Second rosh on chavtes amud aleph in the dorim. Kedushas domin poko, dechihechi de poko al yedei pedia, that's just as kedushas domin can go out by pidyon, poko nami al yedei kviyus zman. The rosh on the daf, the rosh on the omid, on the inside column of kaftes amud aleph, the second rosh. On the other omid, on the kaftes amud aleph. So what does he say? The chihechi de poko, so kedushas damim, chihechi de poko al yedei pedia, just as kedushas domim can be removed through pidyon, poko nami al yedei kviyus man, so kviyus man works too. Aval kedushas haguf loy poko al yedei pedia, veloy poko nami al yedei kviyus man. But kedushas haguf doesn't work for pidyon, and it doesn't work for kviyus man. So you can't be poyde in Isha and you can't marry her on a turn, because that's a real kedushas haguf. But kedushas domim, you can be poyde, and since you can be poyde, so the Rosh adds a piece to it, which was clear from the Gemara. Since you can be poyde, there can also be term. It's kedushas domim only for a period of time. So taking the chiddush of Rabbi Meir that we've just learnt in the Ran, a kohenim kloli, therefore, is a kedushas domim, is that right? And if it's a kedushas domim, according to the Rosh, can it be for a zman? Yes, so even a kohenim kloli can be for a zman, and that's why you can learn the case of Netiyos Eilu Korban as a kohenim kloli, it doesn't have to be hektish. Because now we've got this new idea that a korban kloli that a kohenim kloli is kedushas domin. It can have pidyon, and therefore it can be on term. Now let's look at the run inside. The run about 8 lines from the top of the fat lines on Choftes Amud Aleph, and the run goes on Ulo. on Rav Hamnuna, v'chi kedusha shebohen lehechon holcha. We got that at the end of the line. V'chi kedusha shebohen lehechon holcha, asked Rav Hamnuna, deloy svirele de tipoko bichdi. He doesn't get it, and have a minute, he doesn't get it. How can that just disappear? It can't just disappear because the time is up. Where does it go? You need an action, like pigeon, something. Ask the Ran, I understand according to the Mandoma we said, that learns the Mishnah Dafka by Hekdesh, then it's a good kasha, Kedusha Shibohim Lehichon Holcha. Aval idach pisha de parishna de bekunomas askinen, hechi salika daita de kunomas loipoko bikli. Why does Rav Hamnuna find it so difficult to think of Kedusha lehechen holcho? We know that by kunomas it does work. But nan beferik anoido min hayerik. Sheat nenes li ad hapesach. The case there is a man, it's Chodesh Adar, it's Purim time. He says a very complicated kohenim. He says to his wife, if you visit your father between now and Sukkot, you can have no benefit from me until Pesach. So the question is, well, so if she goes to her father before Pesach, she's also now until Pesach. She can't have any benefit from me until Pesach. But after Pesach, she can go, and it doesn't retrospectively make everything that she had. Also, the Gemara goes into that. But one thing is, so what does the Gemara say? In telchi lebeis avich ad hachag, so if you go until Pesukos, avich ad hachag, holcho lifnei ha-pesach, she went before Pesach. So he's asked her, and said, if you go to your father until Sukkos, a koinom on my benefit now until Pesach. Asura ba'anosa ad ha-pesach. The halacha is, now you can't have any benefit from him until Pesach. So the husband has a car. She went to visit her father. She can no longer drive her husband's car until Pesach. But what happens? So there's an isser on the car, and it's a koina. So the pastors, we've said that koina is an isser chetza. It's an isser. It's a koina maguf. And then she goes to visit her father. There's an isser on it. What happens after Pesach? She can start driving the car again. Kedusha the kedusha in the car leichan olcha. What happened to the Kedusha? Alma de lachar ha-pesach, pochi yisur me-mele. But so you see that it's okay by koinomis, this term in koinomis. We have a Gemara that says this term in koinomis. What is Rav Hamnuna so worried about? So this, the Ran wants to use this as a raya that the Mishnah must be talking about hekdesh. Hekdesh that is on term, we haven't found such a thing yet. But that a koinom can be on term, we have them before Yishu Gemara. We know that it can be on term. That was Rabbeinu Yonah's kasha. The tirit. Answers Rabbeinu Yonah. Dahani mili b'klinom proti. This is just a klinom proti. Ki hosom she'enu chal elo al ishto. Like that case there where he says you can't go to your father, you know, that's only a klinom on his wife, it's a klinom proti. Umishumachi kolish isurei ufoko bichdi. So the koinam proti can come out at the end of a term. Aval koinam kloli ki haide masnisin din etiyas halaylu halolu osulu akula alme ki echid alim detofis pidyonim ki hekdesh. That's very serious and it can't come off. Kedom rabbi meir lakam berish perek en ben amuda. Hachanam is spirulan de chamiri veloi poko bichdi. So the havamina is that a koinam kloli is on the chefze, on the guf hachefetz, and like hekdesh, it can't come. A koinam proti is on domi. But a koinam, or maybe even on the person, on the gavra, but at best it's on domi. But a koinam, clearly I would have thought, is on the guf. That's the havamina. The maskona is that even a koinam clearly is on domim, it's not on the guf. It's on the domim, and therefore if there's pidyon, and if there's pidyon, says the Rosh, there can be term. So that's the...
So what is a koinam on the guf?
So a real koinam on the goof would be, well, it's quite interesting. The pashtus, the way we've learned that, except for the Rabbeinu Yonah, the pashtus, a koinam proti could be on the goof. And we'll see that next time. So the pashtus, a koinam proti could be on the goof. But he's just said, then how does it work in the case of she'at ne'enes? That's a koinam proti. She says, you can't go to your father-in-law. And if you do, that's a koinam proti. And he says it's not on the goof. Isn't that what he says? So we're saying, or are we saying that in a koinam proti it's chal on the goof, but you can put a time limit? Why would you be able to put a time limit if it's really chal on the goof? So Rabbeinu Yoina seems to hold that even a koinam proti, and in the maskona even a koinam kloli is chal on the domim and not on the goof. So it would come out the koinam, so even though we always say koinam is chal on the goof, we had that in the very first piece we learned in Gittin. We said chal on kedushas haguf, so we're saying yes, but it's the domim of the goof, not the material of the goof. That's the chiddush we would have to come out with. So if we relook, let's go back to Gittin for a moment. Let's go back to that very first piece that we did in Gittin Daf Mem. Yeah, so let's start with the Rashi. Hektesh asos shoyra apotik v'igdishu kedushas haguf l'misbeach v'davka kedushas haguf v'kedushas domim loy mafka shibur. Now we've got a problem. So Rashi says kedushas domim is not mafkiyah midei shibur. If kedushas domim is not mafkiyah midei shibur, then we've just learned that a koinam kloli and a koinam proti is a kedushas domim. What does koinam mafkiyah midei shibur mean altogether? Unless you're going to say it's only by koin and proti. That a koin and proti is kedushas domim. So how does it work in the case of you can't have benefit from me if you go to your husband, if you go to your father, then you can't have benefit from me and it's pakeah after the end of... So we would have to say that the din of pakeah, not like the Rosh, we'd have to say that the din of pakeah has nothing to do with kedushas domim or not. That it's just a term that even by kedushas haguf it can be pakeah. Why? But by hektish it can't. Why would it be about koinon? Doesn't seem difficult. So what are we left with as the kasha? If we've just learned by going through the sugi in the Dorim Chastes, that according to the Ran and Rabbeinu Yoina, a koinon klali is a kedushas domim for sure. It would seem that the koinon prati is also a kedushas domim. What does Rashi and Tosafos say in Gittin? That only a kedushas haguf can be motzei de shibud, but a kedushas domim cannot. What case of koinam is there that can be mafkiyah midei shibud in that case? Would be our question. Other than hektish, so that means with hektish is mafkiyah midei shibud, but not koinam. But it seems to be never koinam. That would fit in with the lashon of the Gemara. It's hektish chomet shikru. Doesn't say koinam. So we would have to come out then that koinam taka doesn't work because koinam is not kedushas haguf, which throws all sorts of other sugyas into a spin. So that we've got to look at. But the other thing, so I want to leave you with that question, and I want to leave you with a second question, which you can work with during the week, and we'll answer, and I'll give you a clue how to answer the second question. The second question is a kashi of the Imre Moshe. I haven't seen the Imre Moshe inside. I've just seen it quoted. The Imre Moshe was Shimshkop used to consider the Imre Moshe as a really important Sefer when he deals with Sefer Choshen. And the Imre Moshe asks on the Ktsoitus Kasha. What was the Ktsoitus Kasha? Ktsoitus Kasha was, how does Koinam, according to Rav Loza ben Yaakov, how come the Koinam isn't Chal in the case of the Chotzer Ashutfi? Since we use Breira to say that on each day it belongs entirely to the one Shutif, that day he can make a koinam on the chotzer. Once he's made a koinam and a chotzer, koinam mafkia midei shibud, and it shouldn't be pokea. Okay, we've just seen a problem with maybe koinam isn't mafkia midei shibud. But leaving that aside, assuming that koinam is mafkia midei shibud, then it shouldn't be pokea. Asks the Imre Moshe, he says this that you can assert something that you have ownership in. The group belongs to you. Only applies if it's not later going to belong to somebody else. But if you know for sure that it's going to revert to somebody else, you don't have full ownership. If you don't have full ownership, what's the havamin that you can make a koinam on? And he brings raya's for that. You can have a kinyan aguf, lizman. You have a kinyan aguf today, but not tomorrow.
But he's saying a principle is, he's saying he's answering the question, really. Isn't he? I mean, well, I'm happening to ask a question, because so is saying, does the
Yes. things he brings arise with seems to be clear. That the whole case with Malveh as well, the reason that it's Motzi Midei, the Shibud of the Baal Chayiv, is because since you can be Mefalik, the Baal Chayiv with Donim, you have the rights to be Makdish this Lo'ilam, and therefore the Kedusha should be Chal. But if you didn't have the rights to be, for it to be Lo'ilam, because he can be Gover, because he would have the right, if you wouldn't be able to be Mefalik him with Donim, then you wouldn't have permanent ownership. If you don't have permanent ownership, you can't Asur it. So he brings rights for it. The way I'm going to try and deal with it next week, Yemir Hashem, is by the way we explained the run in the Dorim Daf Memhe. You remember we explained the difference, this was when you were on the phone, when we explained the difference between the run and the Ramban, as to whether time is just about usage. So the Kinyan HaGuf, the Ramban, you remember, said the Kinyan HaGuf is in the whole thing. That's what partnership is. Both partners have a Kinyan HaGuf in the total thing, all the time. So you can't. How do you divide it? You can't divide it. So you divide usage. Whereas Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov, according to the Ran, said no. The ownership flips. So there's one day you own the whole thing, and the next day the other one. But you can't both own the whole thing at the same time. Ramban says you can. Ramban says you both own the whole thing all the time. The Ran says you don't. Breira decides when each one has it, but at any given time, one has a full Ginyan HaGuf. Is the way the Ran learned. By our understanding of the difference between the Ramban and the Rambam, I want to try and understand the Kses HaKoshen a little bit better. So if you have the time to prepare, to try and loop that back. So we're left with two issues that we have to clarify. The way we've learned the Gemara so far, it would seem, based on the Gemara in the Dorim of Chattes, that the Koinonos are generally, according to Rabbi Meir, Koinonos are not Kedushas HaGuf, they really are Kedushas Domin. Rashi and Tosfos in Gittin Daf Mem say Kedushas Koinah Mafkiyah Midei Shibud only where it is Kedushas Dom, where it's Kedushas Aguf, it's Kedushas Domim, it's not Mafkiyah. So where then is there a case of Koinah Mafkiyah Midei Shibud is something that we need to clarify. Those are the two questions that I leave you with for next week. Sure.